Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. Coming up on this week's podcast, I speak to farming couple Richard and Wendy Starrett from Lifford about their award-winning year. I'll also be catching up with Pat Brady, owner of the Kitchen Outlets in Letterkenny, about keeping his family business open in challenging times. Last month, the Starrett family in Lifford was named as the overall winner of the NDC and Kerrygold Quality Milk Awards Live on RTE Television. Earlier in the year, Richard was named as the Erivo Milk Supplier of the Year for 2020. To be recognised nationally for the strong focus on their farm's sustainability has been hugely satisfying for Richard and Wendy.
Yeah, we're very delighted here. It's not very often a big award like this comes up to Donegal. It was nice going through 2019, just doing things as we wanted to do them and getting really recognised for it on the National Dairy Council Awards. And it's been, Wendy and myself are really delighted, like, and the family, and all the phone calls and cards and text messages and WhatsApps and all we've got this past few weeks has been mad altogether.
Wendy, the advertisement break during the Late Late Show was extended to allow for the 11 finalists. How was that when it came to the last couple of seconds and the winners are?
Yeah, it was very exciting now. Richard was very shocked here now, I think. Yeah, the minute that was announced, then the phone started ringing. But it was really good. We kept the children up and they were all excited as well. And all my friends were watching it, so everybody, I think, was jumping around the house. But it was a nice way to do it. It was an exciting build-up to it and all, you know, and flashing through and then just landing on us. It was very exciting.
The family aspect was one of the big areas that they pushed in terms of the competition this time around.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, we're very much a family-oriented enterprise here, which was great during the lockdown because the children were, although they were off school, they were still able to get outside all the time and they weren't stuck in the house. And, you know, they had a great time. But they all have their own jobs and they love being out. And Holly, the middle one, she'd get up with Richard at the weekends there when she's off school and help him. And then the older boy would go out later on and work all day. And they just love it. They love being out. Love being out in it.
Richard, I was talking to your father, John, on the way up to where we are at the minute. A very highly respected individual in the farming sector and a leading light in the AFA for a long time. I'm sure he passed you on some good words of wisdom down the years.
Oh, he sure did, yeah. That is nice. Following on from what he did before me. Sometimes it's not easy, but as I said, when I took over the farm in 1994, he handed it over to me at that stage. You have to make your own mistakes, a few mistakes too, to go the right way, because if you don't, you'll never learn.
How did you find the responsibility of taking that on at the time?
Well, was being here and doing the work and knowing what was going on, it wasn't really... It was easy enough. I can't really say there's things that are right that you would have hit you, but maybe you could still ask my father, like, or mother, what way will I do this? On the line of financial things, more than anything.
How big is the farm and how many livestock are on the farm at the minute?
We're farming about 160 acres. Milk around 162 cows. Then the young stock, then there'd be around about 50 young stock as well. And spring calf and herd, calf from early February to end April.
Talk to me about a typical day or a typical week on the farm here at the minute, Richard.
Typical day, the alarm goes off at 6 o'clock, 7 days a week. And get up and get the breakfast. And at the weekends, say Holly, or if they're not the children are at school, Holly gets up with me and we go either go for the cows or we gather them up for milking and... Probably milking lasts and washing up and scraping and stuff to about 9 o'clock, and we go and get tea then and do other things and other bits and pieces during the day then as need be. That could be very from anything, cutting hedges or repairing things or fixing fences or and stuff like that.
You're never idle?
Never idle. I just love being outside. I couldn't sit in the house.
And very much a team effort, Wendy.
Yes, everybody pulls together, and as he was saying, like you don't have a typical day as such. There's so much going on, but everybody pulls together, and everybody does their own thing. And so,
What's the one big change or a number of changes that you've noticed, Richard, since you took over the farm? And farming obviously has been your life from you being very young.
Probably the big changes are there probably will be more paperwork now, and we'll have to be farming more in a more sustainable way now. Most farmers, I should say, would be farming in a more sustainable way now than ever. It's very important now, the way the planet is and all the rest. We put solar panels on here 2 years ago even. There was a grant scheme, and now we find big savings with that every year. And if we can get big savings in Donegal solar panels, and down, further down the country they get more sun than we do, so they'll even be better down there.
We have a new Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell Logue. Are you hopeful, Richard, that he'll do a good job and maybe help farmers in this region?
I'd say Charlie will do a very, very good job now. I must say, the Saturday after I won the award, Charlie phoned me, was one of the first people to phone me on the Saturday now, and congratulate me. And I think he's very tuned into what way farming is up this part of the country, where it's not just as easy as it is down further south.
Run one of your stores here at the minute, Richard, and with a cargo of meal that just landed. Can you explain to me what we're looking at here at the minute?
Two lots of meal there. One lot of meal is for the milking cows. They get that twice a day as they're being milked. And another lot of meal is for calves. And calves were born in the springtime. Now, whenever everything's on, we have to keep them all in shape and condition that and fed well to be ready for going back to grass next year again. At the moment outside there, David Blackburn, a full-time employee, he's with me now 10 years. Without him, all this wouldn't be possible, because it takes good help to keep the show going.
You have three young children. Is it a career or is it a life that you would encourage them to go into down the line, Richard?
I definitely would encourage them to go into this if that's what they want. Whenever you grow up with it, that's what I found, you have no problem doing it. Some people say 6 o'clock in the morning is very early, but whenever you're used to it, that's no problem. Even when the time changed there a few weeks ago, I've still been waking myself at 5 o'clock. Because it's very hard to get a change on the system.
What do you do to unwind, and do you get a break?
My unwinding, I'm not really into sports or anything like that there, but I love mechanicking. And that's what screwing silage harvesters apart or fixing things as need be.
How has the COVID pandemic affected the firemen and affected yourself here this year, Richard?
We didn't really notice it that much. Besides other sectors, now that other sectors got hit really hard with it, unless we went to get something for the farm, you just had to watch yourself that way and all. And even with the children, plenty of freedom being out around the farm all summer.
Finally, what does 2021 hold for Richard Stard and Wendy and the Stard family going forward?
I suppose we'll be involved with a lot of things now to do with the award. It'll all depend on what way the COVID restrictions and all are going to different things throughout the country. If a lot of restrictions are still on, we'll be on Zoom a lot, answering questions and things like that. But we're looking forward to 2021 to see what's ahead of us. And there's always challenges and on the farm end of things, and it wouldn't be the same if there weren't, I suppose.
That was Richard and Wendy Starrett. Pat Brady and his family run the two kitchen cafes on Letterkenny Main Street and at Letterkenny Retail Park. The kitchen on Main Street was one of a handful of outlets in Letterkenny that remained open during the first lockdown through his takeaway service. While Pat says it's been a difficult year, he's happy the business is still open and is looking forward to a better 2021.
I don't think anyone could have written this chapter, but your luck, we're still here. Fighting the fight. It's been difficult, but look, you just have to, but it is what it is, and there's obviously people in worse place than ourselves, so we're happy enough we're still going. The start of the year was probably the worst part, where it was a shock to the system, but once we got up and running and managed to sort of work to whatever we had to work with for the year, we've managed to stay going. We stayed open through the through the first lockdown. That was very, very difficult for the first 3 or 4 weeks. You didn't know whether you should be open, whether you should be here, whether you should. We ended up, we were very lucky, we ended up with work for the hospital, with Feed the Heroes group. And so it was a great experience during the first lockdown. Probably the second one has been nearly more difficult to try and get your head around it. But being fair, and I think I said to you before, Kieran, with staff and the relations testing, and once the disease became prevalent in the community again, we were nearly more or less happy to go back to takeaway again and not putting people's lives at risk. So we're happy enough where we're at, and look, we're working with what's put in front of us.
How long are you based here now on Main Street, Pat?
We're here on the Main Street 14 years, this coming February, in some shape or form. Well, we were in the Main Street well before that as a bag shop, but we're here probably 30 years. But we're in the cafe business for 14 years. We opened a retail park 8 years ago, and that's when we changed over to the kitchen brand. And look, it's a local business, it's a family business, and we enjoy it. We love meeting people. We like people coming in, having a bit of crack. You miss that with the takeaway, but we still have people at the Hatch on the Main Street, so we're still getting our fix.
In relation to the business, you did stress the point of it's a family operation. How important has that been, Pat, over the last 8 months?
Particularly in the initial stages, when you had to make a decision whether you stay open or whether you didn't. We were lucky enough that, you know, we don't have anyone that was in any way in danger, so we were able to come into work. It was just ourselves, really. None of us have any conditions that would make us vulnerable. So we said we were in a great position to stay going, to stay open, and to serve people, because there was loads of nighttime takeaways open at the time, but there was nowhere at the Main Street at lunchtime for people who were working. We have the social welfare just around the corner, the NTO office. Those people come for their lunch day in, day out, and they were delighted to have somewhere to go 1 day, 2 days a week. So we were here, and we were delighted to be able to be here for that.
And after the business reopened again, Pat, I'm sure you got a bounce then for those 10 or 12 weeks.
We absolutely did. In fact, like, we were shocked at how busy it was. I suppose, I think I might have said to yourself, I had never really seen people coming back to sitting down and enjoying themselves like that again. But they did. And the minute we opened the doors, we were flat to the mat for the whole for the couple of months of the summertime, particularly in the retail park, where I suppose it is very much a shopping crowd. But, you know, we put in boots. We tried to make sure that everyone was separated and everyone was sitting properly. It was an awful lot of extra work, and it was an awful lot of extra pressure. But, you know, I think people really did appreciate what we did, and we got a great turnout of it. So, yeah.
You were one of very few businesses, Pat, that was able to stay open, or that took the decision to stay open, based on Main Street and Letterkenny. What was the feeling like, or what is the feeling like now, even in the second lockdown, among your business colleagues on the Main Street here?
I suppose this time more people have stayed open, and I suppose from the point of view of a coffee shop, or as what we are, you don't really hold any stock, so we're in probably a better position than the likes of the retailers who are sitting on the stock, which obviously imperative that they get open before Christmas, they get that stuff moved on. We literally have just our standing charges to cover, and ourselves and rent. We don't carry any stock, but we don't have anything that's going to be gone off in the next 3 months. So it is different for ourselves, there's no doubt about that. And I would be, you know, I suppose we see all our colleagues doing click and collect and in the retail sector, and it is a very worrying, very concerned time. We had great help from the state. I think I said that to you before, and I would never believe we would get the kind of support we got. And it's great for the likes of ourselves. It's probably not as good for the likes of the retailers, because of the likes of carrying stock and stuff like that. But there are great supports out there, but it is a very, very difficult time for everyone in business, not just ourselves, you know, for certain.
How important was that state aid, Pat, and how important is it going forward for you?
It's impossible to really quantify it, to be honest with you, Kieran. I suppose, I think, again, I would have said to you in conversations, I never would have believed back in March that we would get that kind of support. And I've said that umpteen times. I know it's popular to sit down and knock governments, and I'm totally unpolitical, but I really I'm shocked and delighted with what we've got, particularly for our staff, that we've been, like, this time we're able to keep all our staff on, and they're on the subsidy, you know, they're costing us a few bob, we're able to keep them in work, and they're delighted to be able to stay working. That's a great thing for them mentally, socially, and for ourselves, because they're still here with us. The last time it was just ourselves, we didn't know what was going to happen. Probably, being honest, if we'd have known how well they were going to be looked after, we would have tried to keep them on. But that's, you know, that's hindsight. But this time there wasn't even a question. It was easy to do. And for that reason, we've kept going in the retail park as well. Probably not really worth it. But again, there's people coming and going all the time down there. And as I say, with the subsidies, it's grand. You know, we're able to take over. And that's as much, I think, as anybody can hope to do this year. That's just take over.
At full capacity, how many staff do you employ, Pat?
I think at the top of it, I suppose the next month coming, we would have had up to 20. But sort of on a normal monthly month, it was about 40 in staff, 8 full-time and the rest part-time. 4 of those are ourselves. And again, my daughters were part-time up to now, 1 daughter now working full-time in the business. So, but a lot of staff, we take on an awful lot of trainees. Not a business really where people start with you that they're ever going to be here for the rest of their lives. We don't see it that way, other than maybe a couple of cooks and a couple of staff. But the rest of them are young girls getting experience to go out into the world, and that's part of the job of a cafe, you know, that we provide that for them, and we get a bit of work out of them on the way.
I remember talking to you back in March, Pat, and you painted a picture of coming into town at the early stages of the lockdown. Could you maybe recall that conversation again and maybe the eerie sensation that you felt?
I do, in fairness, because it's something that will probably stay with me for the rest of my life. And I've been through all sorts of ups and downs, and I've been in various businesses and faced all sorts of problems and difficulties, but I've never experienced anything like. I think it was probably the day after Paddy's Day been the worst coming in, and I suppose not knowing whether you should be there, whether you shouldn't be there, driving in the dual carriage with not a sinner to be seen, not a soul, and that 10 days that followed that, you know, almost every day watching the news, different information coming out, it was scary stuff. There's no point, I've never experienced anything like it, and it was my most difficult, that 2 weeks was unquestionably the most difficult time I've ever remember in anything. And as I say, I've been over a few jumps in my time, and I never sensed anything like it. And I suppose I would consider myself a very strong person, and a man to be the same. So you do feel for people who may not have that sort of inner strength. That must have been, if it was that was like that for me, I can only imagine what it must have been like for other people, you know. But thankfully, we learned from it and ploughed on. It is what it is, and once we got going. And as people started drifting in, and we were really delighted then we were still here for our own sanity, we said, myself and Amanda working here, we might as well be fighting in here as at home. So and that's it, we opened the hatch, and every morning we were here at 8 o'clock, and we battled on to 3 or 4 in the day, and we managed to do that the whole way through, and you know, we were delighted to be able to do it, and we got a great bit of business out of it, you know. So it actually turned out from being horrendous to being a good time, you know. But that, I would quantify that again to say, an awful lot that the support we received was huge from the people and from the state. There's no question about that.
The hatch was ready made, Pat. I know that you revamped both here and the retail park, yeah. So it was quite opportune, and you were ready for that takeaway business.
Yeah, well, I suppose there was a good and a bad side to that. We had completely refurbed the retail park in November for an extra sit-in, and then, which was unbelievably bad timing. We'd done the main street earlier the previous year, and we took out doors and put in the hatch. My idea being that we'd serve coffee on Paddy's Day when the parades and everything else were on. I was accused a couple of weeks before and of never having opened the window. Little did I know what it was going to turn out to be down the line, so... Yeah, thank God. Sometimes you just get lucky, and we got lucky.
You took the decision not to open the retail park back in March.
That's right. The retail park is very much a sit-in. We don't really do an awful lot of takeaway down there, and I suppose most of our customers are people in shopping and Dunn's or Paco or Homebase or some of those places to come in, husband and wife, that and to come across and have their, you know, have their bit to bring the kids in the evening time. It's a completely different customer than we have on the main street, where... Up here, it tends to be, we have a big coffee trade from the entry of the bar, so the people are used to taking away from us here. The wording down below, and really, there was when the shops were closed down there, there was absolutely nobody down there. So there was absolutely nothing to be done. So it was a horrible thing to go into it when it was closed. But and I suppose for a lot of the time we didn't think we'd ever see it open again. But you know, thankfully it did, and this time we would think differently. You know, so we definitely would be hoping to be back in action again. Maybe not in the next couple of weeks, but. In early next year, please God.
We're 3 weeks into level 5, and we've another 3 weeks to go, Pat. What level do you think we will be at start of December, and what level do you think businesses need to be at to be up and running again properly?
Being honest, I suppose on our side of it, I find it very difficult to see us being completely back open again before Christmas, particularly in Donegal with the way the figures are going. And again, being honest, I'm not sure, you know, whether I would want to be or not, considering the way things are. I think it is imperative that for ourselves that we sacrifice ourselves for the shops. I think that's probably, I think there's a huge issue with the retail sector, particularly with Derry being open and Saban being open, that, you know, our retailers need to be open, for sure. We'll be open and take away. We can manage with takeaway for the next couple of months. There's no point in saying we can't. We can. We'll get out the other side of that. I don't think the retailers will. I think if they close, they're gone for good. And that will affect us more so than us being operating as takeaway. So I it's very hard to know. And it is a very difficult call for everybody. I accept that, you know. But I suppose at the end of the day, we have to respect it's a disease. It's not something anybody, and from a government or from any official sitting in, to say they would have been landed with this when we were doing the count out in the Aura last year, to say that the fella's been elected, we're going to end up with this sort of decisions, I'd say, you know, in their wildest dreams, they never thought that we're going to have to make these kind of decisions. And it's difficult for everybody. Definitely is.
Yeah. Parties and occasions is another part of your business as well, Pat, and that's obviously been affected, as you say.
That completely disappeared in the summertime. We did a certain amount of very small parties, very small gatherings. It just didn't happen. And again, you know, you missed it and you were sorry, but really and truly, it couldn't happen. And you knew that and you just bit the bullet on it. Please God, next year, you know, that all things been equal, that we will get to a stage in the summertime where we will be back in business on that side of things again. We did an awful lot of the barbecue type of business the year before last. And like that, it was great business. This year, it just didn't happen. The numbers were very small. We do an awful lot of corporate gigs as well, where companies have fun days. That's all gone. That all disappeared this year. So we lost all that trade. We're still there, though. Please God, next year, that'll be there, you know.
You're open 14 years, you said earlier. Why did you decide to go into the food market?
I had a unit we wanted to do something with, being very honest, and we took a franchise from the Bagel Bar back at that stage. There's a fellow, a mate of mine, looked at different franchises, and being honest, we had absolutely no background on food of any type of description, neither the two of us. I was in the insurance game and remained in it for many years up until the last couple of years ago. Amanda was in the bag shop again, but the great thing about the franchise was they took you and trained you. We got a know-how how to do it, and we were within the franchise for 8 good years, really, probably until the recession in 2007-2008 sort of killed that market off, where you were being specific to the likes of bagels and stuff. Didn't really work, and we branched out on our own at that stage, but we had the know-how from the franchise, being honest about it, you know.
A big difference between pensions and bagels.
Absolutely. Although, being honest with you, no matter what business you're in, you're always talking to people. So it doesn't really matter what you're doing. It's the same business. You're dealing with customers. People are, you know, and that's you're trying to keep people happy. I love the coffee shop, and being honest, I think you know that from. I love the company, and I love the social interaction with people of all walks of life to come to the coffee shop. You do see, you know, the full spectrum, from the very, very wealthy down to the very, very poor, down to people who are just killing time, down to people who are busy. So it's a great business. No doubt about that.
Have you moved much to social media, Pat, in the last 8 months?
We definitely have. Very, very fortunate. My daughter works with Google, and she was able to bring us into the current decade in that way. So she's been posting for us. Again, we would have been very, very lax with stuff like that. I suppose the fact that we were very much a cafe and seen ourselves as that, that we didn't really bother too much with social media. And being honest, it didn't really affect us too much. But the great thing about the takeaway is that people see our specials every day. You know, so people were coming, people were phoning in. So yeah, social media has become a huge part of our business today. And that's, you know, she showed us how to work that. And I suppose that's one of the things we have to learn now going on. That's actually how we work that model better for ourselves, and probably make life a little bit easier for ourselves if we're working it right, you know. So, yeah, that's definitely a huge difference there.
Finally, what does 21 hold for Pat, Amanda and the two kitchen retail outlets?
The $6 million question. I suppose, again, Kieran, it's about survival, really, and trying to get back I suppose trying to keep it as positive an outlook as possible, that at some stage in 2021 you're going to become some sort of normal again. And I genuinely think we will, and I actually firmly believe, probably for the first time, that we will actually achieve that probably early enough in 21. I think everyone has been conservative in their thoughts on it at this stage, which is the right way to be. But I'd be very hopeful that, you know, that we can get ahead of this in the early year. I think the science is catching up at a smashing speed, and I think it will catch up. And I think 2021 could be a great year, and I'm hoping it will. Fingers crossed.
Great. Pat Brady, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
You're welcome, Kieran.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Richie and Wendy Starrett and Pat Brady. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.